Now, as you know, there are not that many leg ends that we can get a hold of. There's one great leg end, and when you think about it, all through the years he has been at the top of his game. Still is, by the way, still is. And I'm talking about one of the very finest musicians and songwriters that we have, and producers as well, because he does all these things. And there's no let-up. That's the good thing about it, no let-up whatsoever, but he is terrific. And that's Mr. Phil Coulter. Phil, good morning, my friend. Good morning to you.
How lovely to hear you, Marty. Good to talk to you, buddy.
And you too. I mean, we always have great fun when you come in and sit with us, but now you're out in the splendour of your enormous house, wherever you've landed now. The first thing I have to say is congratulations on the Dear God situation.
Thank you, Marty. Yeah,
that's mad, Ted.
It is mad, yeah. I mean, for an old dog like myself, you know, it's always, you never lose the thrill of having a single released. You never lose the thrill of hearing it on radio, and you particularly never lose the thrill when it gets into the charts.
Sure.
You know, because I was able then to boast and bore my friends after several glasses of wine that I had had chart entries in every decade since the 60s.
You and Cliff, that's all.
Me and Cliff. Yeah, funny. There's a pal of mine who sent me a little video clip from Cliff's recent concert in the Albert Hall when he was doing his 80th tour, you know.
Yes.
And one of the high points, my pal just filmed a little clip of Congratulations. Now, there's a song, Marty, that has fed, clothed, and educated several of my children.
And keep sending the check. That's the right attitude. But isn't it terrific? Now, Dear God, we better explain what Dear God is. You wrote this song, but it's a family reason, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good story, actually. It's a good story of the whole genesis of the song. In our large family, which Billy Connolly used to remind me that my family was of biblical proportions. In our large family, there's a tradition that's grown up where, as each of them would get married, I would compose a piece of music or write a song that would be performed at the ceremony.
Oh, lovely.
So the latest one to take the jump was our son Ryan, who's a professional goalkeeping coach at Houston Dynamo in Texas, right?
Ooh.
So he got married at a little church in Mexico, and there wasn't an organist, there wasn't like a choir or whatever, but what there was a classical violinist. So I wrote a piece of music, very kind of melodic, and that had the desired effect on the day. You know, there wasn't a dry eye in the church.
Right.
The Coulter ladies were blubbering uncontrollably. Anyway, so with the passage of time and a little bit of time in my hands with COVID, Marty, I thought, do you know what? I should set a lyric to that melody because, you know, a lot of people say, what a great tune. So I sat down and taking the theme of a young couple starting off in life and starting on the journey in life and looking for, like, you know, the hand of the Almighty on their shoulder.
Yeah.
So I wrote the song Dear God. During the lockdown, on Saturday afternoons, to keep myself busy and indeed to keep myself sane, Marty, I used to do the Lockdown Lounge live on Facebook.
I've seen your Lockdown Lounge.
Yeah.
I've seen your mug. I've seen your mug, and I'm not talking about your face.
You don't miss a trick, Marty.
Oh, I've seen your mug.
We did that for most of that year,
yeah.
30 minutes on a Saturday afternoon,
sure.
And I would have guest singers come in and whatever. And one of those guest singers was a lad from Derry that I'd had guesting with me on the road on a previous tour called George Hutton.
Yes.
One of the most exciting young voices in the country. So I just joined up the dots and got to work with George on the song. We finally, when restrictions lifted, got into the studio with the orchestra, bingo, recorded it. And the difference now, Marty, we're the old dogs who remember when you released a single, you had it in your hand.
That's right.
You had that single.
And you go into Dolphin Discs or go out and just buy the thing.
Exactly.
That's right.
And then you put it on the turntable and played it.
You came open the bus and put it in the turntable.
Yeah, it's all download. So all that. But even with the download thing, was I not chuffed when Dear God went to number one on the downloads, the easy listening downloads in Ireland, the UK, and top five in the United. Yeah.
That's just fantastic.
Yeah, but it's nice to know that you haven't completely lost your touch.
Oh, for God's sake. No, but it is. It's incredible. It's interesting. There is another George Hutton, not to be confused with this George Hutton, we should explain. And the other thing about this is, you've probably pushed his career forward a bit because people are going to say, well, have you anything else?
Well, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing about the whole lockdown, Marty.
Hmm.
For an old dog like myself, I've got I've been at it long enough. There's a bit of a buffer as far as I'm concerned, but there's a lot of young guys whose career was maybe just beginning to take off, getting a little bit of wind in the sails when the COVID thing happened and just kind of stopped it stone dead. As you know, our game just fell off the edge of a cliff.
That's right.
So it was great for me to think that, you know, we'll give this bit of a lift to a new talent like George, and maybe give him a little bit of a boost along.
But that's the important thing. Now, I thought I need to tell you this is very interesting. We have it here in the system. Obviously, I'm just going to give it a play now. Dear God, from Phil Coulter. But they don't. The only credit on it is Phil Coulter. So, if some of the younger types around here are playing it, they won't mention poor old George at all. They'll think
that's a shame.
They'll say Phil's voice is in great nick, isn't it? That's what they'll say.
But you know better. You know better, Martin.
I've seen you in concert. No, but I'm only joking. But anyway, they don't credit him at all. But anyway, here it is. This is Phil Coulter's "Dear God." It's a very fine piece of work.
God, now and forevermore, this day, one we've been praying for, will stay deep in our memory, moments to treasure, love without measure, dear God.
When I listen to that, Dear God, from Phil Coulter and, let's say, George Hutton, it is the interesting thing, Phil, to me is it's a bit like when we listen to Ireland's Call, which is now played at all these events. This could be a wedding. This could be the wedding song of the future. You'd never know. But anyway, now I see that you've decided that you've bothered Geraldine Brannigan long enough and you're heading out on the road, I see.
Yeah, we're heading out the road with Geraldine and the aforementioned George Hutton.
She's not going with you, is she?
She is.
I would have talked
special
to
guest.
Stay home.
Yeah. The thing is, she's affordable, Marty. That's a big asset, you know, for a guest singer.
She is.
Yeah, we're going on the road. We start on
Friday the 12th of November.
Friday in Rathoath, and then we're from Bantry Bay to Derrykay.
But you're literally traveling the country. You're going right across
the whole lot. Yeah, north, south, east, and west.
Well,
you know, we haven't been out for such a long time, Marty. You know, before even the restrictions were lifted, I said to Maura, my PA, look, we got to go ahead. We got to be positive. We can't wait until these restrictions are lifted, because why? There'll be a stampede at that stage
of
people trying to get gigs.
That's true.
So we stayed optimistic, stayed positive, and put all those dates in between now and right through to the new year. And then in the new year, in February, we're up north doing Derry, Belfast, et cetera, et cetera.
So that's fantastic. I'm looking at this list. I mean, it's Monaghan, Cavan, it's Dublin, Blanchardstown. You're in Arklow, you're in Cork. You're everywhere. You're literally traveling the length and breadth of the country right through into the new year. I see on the 1st of January. Now, I thought you'd be like myself, the worse for wear on the 1st of January. I thought you'd be saying, you're getting me nowhere the 1st of January. You're in Charleville Park Hotel. I hope you're there the previous night.
Well, for many years, come the 1st of January, I would have been one of the walking wounded like yourself. But since we haven't been out for such a long time, and that offer came in, I thought, you know what? Because, you know, Marty, we did our first gig just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
It was before even the restrictions were lifted. And I counted back the period of time it had elapsed since our previous gig, which was in St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin. It was 645 days without gigging.
I know, but who's counting? I should make the point, by the way, 31st of December, you'll find Phil and Geraldine. And I presume, is George on the full whack? He is. He's on the full...
He's on the full whack?
Yeah,
he's on the full whack.
You're in the Maritime Hotel in Bantry, just to say that, for that's New Year's Eve. By God, I can't believe we're talking about New Year's Eve. Will you be giving them your Coltergeist? Will you be giving them the... Because I love that. The Coltergeist. You know that I love that piece of music.
You like Coltergeist?
I've always loved it.
That's great fun.
Are you still playing it?
That's great fun. I'm still playing it, surely. When I released that on an album, RCA Records in New York, in the weeks that followed, they were getting letters. You're going to love this one. You know, Coltergeist has got that very deliberate, that gap, that stop every 48 bars, whatever it may be, to add to the kind of whole ghosty thing, you know.
Yes, yes, yeah.
There were people who were saying, there's a fault on my CD because in Coltergeist, the music stops. People actually believed that was some kind of technical error. So there was no accounting for
it. It's a great piece of music. Mm. I still think it's a great piece of music. I'm going to play it because I want to. Here it is, Phil Coulter and Coltergeist. This is great. Your lockdown lounge. You see, this is what all the young people are doing now. All the new acts are doing all this. And I saw you standing wistfully looking into the sea. And I thought to myself, as a fellow said, there's a man with too much time on his hands. And I thought to myself, it's fantastic that you can do, you know, when you think about it, because you shouldn't stop this now. You keep this thing going. Doesn't matter that, please God, that the COVID thing will be behind
us. Because
that's important.
You're 100% right. You're reaching an entirely different audience. An entirely different audience. I mean, we built up for we had no activity on that Facebook thing up until then, but the younger guys on my team here said, Phil, this is the only way you're going to reach out to your fans, your followers, and let them know that you're still in business, you know, that you haven't fallen off the perch.
No, exactly.
But that grew and grew and grew. And then we did a couple of special things. We did a version of Scorn Not His Simplicity with young Ryan Hennessy, the lead singer in Picture This.
Yeah.
And that, because of the kind of different ingredients there and his catchment area, we had like 500,000 views of something like that. That's staggering.
But
that you can reach that number of people.
Exactly, but you see, that's that other area. And the other thing too is we can happily, when we see you playing on the the lockdown lounge, we can see how many discs you have on the wall. Where are the rest of them? Because you have an awful lot of silver and gold discs. and platinum.
I have. You have a fair few, yeah.
You do, yeah.
The nice thing about that is, you know, they represent a fair few years. They're not the kind of things you can pick up in Dunn stores. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they're a bit
of a quack. But the significant thing is, Marty, is that as I'm sitting here at my desk, I'm looking at three walls that have got gold, silver, and platinum albums.
Oh,
but there's another wall that has got gaps on it. So I have to fill those gaps. That's why I'm still active.
Dear God, he said, let me fill that wall. Give me the next one now. So look, when you're on the road, yourself and Geraldine and Mr. Hutton, are you bringing a band? Are you bringing? What are you going to do this? How are you going to play this, sir?
We scaled it down. Early days when I started this whole operation, we used to have the full orchestra. Toured America with 20 some.
Absolutely.
But then for practical considerations, we pulled that back to a rhythm section, and then even further back until it was just moi solo at the piano as a one-man thing. But then I added a couple of guests with Geraldine and George. So it's a tight little operation.
Yeah.
It's a very different kind of an evening from an evening with the orchestra, because there's a lot of chat involved. It's very relaxed. It's very informal. Certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you see, you're a great storyteller, raconteur. You love the stories, and you tell them so well. Incidentally, you are aware, are you, that Mr. Pat Egan has a book out?
I was at the launch.
You're on the cover.
I'm about one third of the way through it. I'm on the cover. Me and Billy Connolly.
You and Billy Connolly.
All the greats.
Thank God, still with us. But I only got it. It's a fantastic little book. It's gorgeous.
It is. It's a great chronicle. You know. Of that whole era. And what was happening in the music business at the launch? I looked in the door and I thought, my God, this is like history here, because all of the vintage, like Oliver Barry, you know, vintage men from the past were all there. Men who had, you know, contributed so much to building what Irish show business became. You know,
yes, for sure. And when was it launched? Was it only recently? Presumably, it can only have been
within the last couple of weeks. Last couple of weeks.
No, it is. It's terrific. It really is. But look, when we think about you and think about you going on stage and singing these songs, like, it's mad. Like, when I think about songs by, I think about Lou Kelly, I think about Elvis Presley, I think about the Furies, I think about Richard Harris, Van, Derek, like all these people who have all been a part of, well, you've been a part of all their musical lives, and so many more, James Galway, there's a whole bunch more. Like, I've read your book. You could nearly write another one. I've read your book. And I mean, the people that have been associated with you through the years, and also the fact that you have moved from one type of music to another. You've never kind of stayed still. You'll go left and right, and it doesn't seem to bother you. You're quite comfy in that regard, aren't you?
Well, I remember when I was producing the Dubliners or the Furies or Planxty and all that, my then partner, Bill Martin, thought I was mad. He said, what are you doing wasting all your time with these diddly A bands? We should be making more albums with the Bay City Rollers and Kenny and Slick and selling a million albums. But for me, it was always a nice, you know, a relief to get away from that whole teeny bopper. You know, when we had that run like 3 or 4 years with all those teeny bopper bands, it was nice to kind of step off of that treadmill and be involved with music that had a little bit more depth, and afforded me the opportunity as a songwriter to write songs, you know, like Scorn Not His Simplicity rather than Shang-a-Lang. For me, it was the Rollers and like the Eurovision and Presley and all, they were great for my bank balance.
Yes.
But working with the likes of the Dubliners, with Luke, with Planxty, the Furies, that was kind of good for my soul, you know?
Yes, I know. And when I think about The Town I Love So Well, and of course you played it at John Hume's funeral, God rest him.
Yeah.
And he loved to perform, and he loved the song. There's a moment that will be forever etched on the minds of many. I just think it's one of the most beautiful songs ever written. And it's about a place. It's lovely, but it's what the place means. As you say, you can shang along anytime you like, but The Town I Love So Well is at a whole other, it's a whole other level.
Yeah.
It really is.
My training in Tin Pan Alley in Denmark Street was always, you know, if you're a pop songwriter, your songs have got to be aimed at the charts. That was drilled into, that was my training. But looking back on my catalogue, The funny thing that the songs that meant most in my heart and soul, Marty, would be the likes of The Town I Love So Well or yes. Scorn Not His Simplicity, yes. neither of which were written with a view to the charts at all. But they're the songs that have survived. They're the songs that mean most to me. They certainly wouldn't be the biggest earners of my songs. But
sure.
You know, that's not the only yardstick by which you should judge, you know, the value of your song.
Well, it's not, absolutely. And let's be perfectly honest about it. When you look back at some of these songs that have stood the test of time, do you know one of my great favourites still is Surround Yourself With Sorrow by Cilla Black? I still think that's
Go
a great
away.
Song. I still think that's a great
Go
song.
Go away, Cilla Black.
Cilla Black, Priscilla White. I think that's a great song. Yourself and Bill Martin. I love it. Again, it's funny, isn't it?
Well, it was significant. At the time, it was significant because we had won the Eurovision with Puppet on a String. We had come second with Congratulations. But cynics in the music industry were saying, yeah, Martin and Coulter, yeah. They're only good for writing Eurovision songs. So be able to get a hit completely removed with somebody like Cilla, who was hot as hell at the time, produced by George Martin.
Yes.
That was very significant.
Were you
that
in the,
a lot at the
were
time.
You in the room when it was made? Were you there for the
I
recording?
I was indeed. I was indeed.
What an exciting moment that must have been. Golly, Mac. Listen. But I'm noticed, by the way, that you go on your tour up to the 19th of December. So Christmas at home, I take it.
Christmas at home, yeah. Christmas at home. I've never worked through Christmas. The closest I came was some years back. I did the run of the one man show in the Irish Repertory Theatre in off Broadway in New York. Did you get that, Marty?
Off Broadway. Yes. I got that. Yes.
I hope you caught that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a run of about 5 weeks up to the 23rd. We had Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off, and then back to work, as all Americans do anyway, back to work on St. Stephen's Day.
Yeah, but
Christmas is a one-day event in America.
But even these days, the you know the Rockettes show, Radio City Music Hall, the Christmas show.
Oh,
the Easter
wonderful, yeah, yeah.
That runs on Christmas Day.
It would. Probably two shows as well. Two shows on Christmas Day.
It's astonishing, isn't it? It really is.
Oh, but that's one of the great pleasure palaces, one of the great shrines to the entertainment industry.
Isn't it just?
Radio City.
Oh,
and that should be on everybody's bucket list to see that Christmas show in Radio City.
It is the most, isn't it? And it's only about an hour and a half. It's brilliant. It's just wonderful. And listen, will any of the children be able to get back to you, think, for Christmas, or how are you going to play that?
Well, we were fortunate when our kids were growing up that we travelled a lot. They travelled with us, so yes. I was able to tell them, listen, there's a big wide world out there, you know, and you're as entitled to your piece of it as anybody else. Now that has come back to bite me in the ass because of our six kids, five of them are away,
good
you know,
Lord.
in Australia, New Zealand, Los Angeles, Texas, London. So with the COVID was particularly punishing because we didn't get to see them at all.
Yes,
you couldn't. So we're hoping now for a bit of a family reunion.
Ah, that'll be lovely. Well, listen, you're starting on the 12th, you're running through till the 1st of January, but then, as you say, you're heading north after that. You'll be down to Charleville on the 1st of January, but then you're heading north. Are you playing anywhere close to us? Oh, you are. You're in...
We're doing Dunleary for a start.
You're doing Dunleary.
And we're doing Bray for a second. We're doing a lovely little theatre in Talla, Blanchardstown, but didn't neglect the city.
No, you're right. Mermaid Theatre in Bray, there it is, in the pavilion, the lovely pavilion down in Dunleary. Sure, it's gorgeous. We're going to put all the dates up on our webpage. And both the listeners will be able to see it then, which will be good. And we'll
bless you.
Knock both of them out to see you. Listen, you're a joy. I love your company. And my best to Geraldine, your lady wife, and to Mr. Hutton. I hope that all turns out well because it's a great springboard for him, Phil. It's a great springboard for him and a great start. So keep the faith, my friend. I think will we finish up with The Town I Love So Well? I think we should. Why not?
Been a pleasure, Marty. God bless you.
And I have it being sung by you, which is handy. So that's good. That'll be another few bob for you. Another few bob. Keep well, Phil. God bless you, and the very best of luck.
Thanks for everything, Marty.
Pleasure.
In my memory, I will always see the town that I have loved so well, where our school played ball by the gas yard wall, and we laughed through the smoke and the smell. Going home in the rain, running up the dark lane, town I loved so well. In the early morning, the shirt factory horn called women from Craigan, the moor and the bar, while the men on the dole played a mother's role, fed the children, and then walked the dog. And when times got tough, there was just about enough, and they saw it through without complaining. For deep inside was a burning pride in the town I loved so well. There was music there in the derriere, like a language that we all could understand. I remember the day that I earned my first pay, when I played in a small pickup band. I spent my youth, and to tell you the truth, I was sad to leave it all behind me. For I'd learned about life, and I'd found a wife in the town I loved so. When I've returned, how my eyes have burned to see how a town could be brought to its knees by the armored cars and the bombed-out bars and the gas that hangs on to every breeze. Now the army's installed by that old gas yard wall, and the damned barbed wire gets higher and higher, with their tanks and their guns. Oh my God, what have they done to the town I loved so well? Now the music's gone, but they carry on, for their spirit's been bruised, never broken. They will not forget, but their hearts are set on tomorrow and peace once again. For what's done is done, and what's won is won, and what's lost is lost and gone forever. I can only pray for a bright, brand new day in the town I love so well.
Oh, it's lovely. Phil Coulter and the town I love so well. His date's available online if you want to go and see him, because it'll be always a joy, and he's always a joy to have as a guest as well, which is quite wonderful. And I'm just remembering John Hume singing on there and being a part of Off the Record. Remember, he walked in, that TV show we did years ago, John Hume walked in, and the orchestra all rose to welcome him and applauded him. Amazing. Back with you tomorrow, don't forget, Eddie Morricone.
To Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.